Hello and welcome to the Expansion Podcast, the podcast for podcasters and lovers of the audio space. As always, I'm Mo actually on Twitter, and I'm joined by my learned friend and co-host, Stavros Boss.
Joe Burden.
You lot are jokers, man. You're going to start a podcast like this, you'd be like, you know, my name is Mo, and you know, I got Stavros is here, Wahala is here, Simone is here.
We were going to get to the section where we introduce the guest, but obviously you can hear them talking. So yeah, normally it's just me and Stavros, but this week we are actually joined by two new guests. So I'm going to go to Simone first. Introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Simone. I don't know what to say I am. I'm just somebody who loves podcasts and features on some from time to time. So very happy to be here. So thank you for inviting me.
Nice. And going to the loud voice that you heard earlier, Big Wahala, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Big Wahala, long time listener, first time caller. You know, hi. I don't know much about podcasts. I'm not really know anything about podcasts at all. That's a lie anyway. I've been podcasting for years and years and years and years and years. So I'm Stavros' little brother. If you've heard ESM podcasts, obviously you've heard me. Nice to be on the show, man. I was invited during the first stint.
That didn't take long to come up, did it?
But it's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
You was actually invited. I think it was a scheduling issue. I think take that up with my co-host.
I'm not saying anything.
Okay, then it's fine. So just to say, we've been on an extended break, but we decided to break our silence because of the breaking news. I've said break a lot of times, but that news is being that the potential end to the Joe Budden podcast, and as one of the top podcasts in the world, we thought it was, it's up there.
I mean, it's not the potential end.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, well, we'll get to that. We thought it would be a good point to talk about what's going on and the potential effects on the industry as a whole. Okay?
Cool.
So, Stav, I actually prepared like a little timeline of events. You okay for me to run through that?
Yes. Just before we continue, we're recording remotely. If there are any delays, which I believe there are, and if there's any sound issues, which I believe there are with the same person, then forgive her for having poor internet and no microphone. Yes, Mo, please continue.
Okay.
Is that me
for months
or you?
Now, we have...
Well, wow, the delay.
You're proving my point.
Wow.
We'll just have to, we'll work around it.
Oh, snap.
So for months now, we've seen issues bubbling at the Joe Budden podcast. We previously talked about it on the Expansion Pod when the podcast left Spotify. That was major news. And today we're talking about the potential demise of the show. So just to give you a quick timeline. So in 2015, the podcast was created and it was called I'll Name This Podcast Later. And it was hosted by Joe Budden, Rory and Marissa. After 76 episodes, Marissa left and was replaced by Marl. About 6 weeks ago, both Rory and Marl were missing from the pod, but we were told they were on holiday. Later, we were told that there were issues. Joe's friends Ish and Ice were brought in to cover. After an initial bumpy start, they soon became fan favourites. 2 episodes ago, the boys returned, Rory and Marl, but it was super awkward. And today's episode, Joe declared that both Rory and Marl have been fired.
He didn't fire Marl.
He did towards the end of the episode. He said both of them.
He said they're fired.
Okay. I only heard Rory bit. All right, fine.
I heard it
was almost like he was going to say more, and then he stopped himself.
He did. And
at one point.
Maybe the pills kicked in and then he said it. But let Mo finish her spiel and then we can get into the conversation.
Okay, no problem.
And then, as I was saying, on today's episode, Joe declared that both Rory and Moore were fired. and that episode was since removed from the like RSS feed. However, the rumor is that it's appeared on their Patreon site.
It is on their Patreon.
Right. So yeah, so that brings us up to date. So initial thoughts, guys, what do you think?
Just to clarify something, was Rory actually on the first couple of episodes of I'll name this podcast later? Because I believe it's not, isn't it? And that's a big deal. So,
okay. You want to, okay. I get it.
The reason, for me, listening to today's podcast, I don't have much that I disagree with him on.
Disagree with who?
Joe. It's Joe Budden's podcast. It's always been Joe Budden's podcast. I think people that would look into it quite heavily could see that it's Joe Budden's podcast and these guys are on his podcast. Yes, they shared the podcast with him. But for me to even think that those guys had like any ownership that would be equal to that of Joe's made no sense in my brain. I know me and Simone spoke about this previously. But yeah, I would never think that they would have any... Like, I know he talks a lot about equity and all this stuff. So I would assume that he would give them some, into the podcast, but no way would they give it, he would give them enough that they would have enough power to basically say anything to him. So when I'm listening to the podcast now, and as all of us are listeners, I know Stav stopped listening while it was on Spotify, but the rest of us listen. And I think I agree with him in the fact that I say that. And Steph will know this as well. Obviously, if anyone that's done podcasts will know this, those guys don't do nothing, man. And I say they don't do nothing. Yes, obviously they enjoy themselves. They come in with the jokes, whatever. But you can blatantly see that Joe does all of the topics. Joe's the one that does most of the conversation. Joe's always the one that will maybe say something that's inflammatory to maybe push the podcast into a conversation that maybe all the rest of them might not be so comfortable to have. He's the one that exposes himself more than anyone else. As far as I'm concerned, the other two are just there to just be there. Like, it's just like they're part of the conversation. Yes, they bring in their little bits of jokes here and there. I think Rory tries more than Mo does. So I think everyone's going to agree with that. But Joe blatantly runs this podcast. Blatantly. There is no, like, nothing about it. The man does most of the work. I'm pretty certain he puts the money behind most of it as well. He's already said that today, that he puts most of the money behind. And he said it previously as well when he talked about how much money he puts and how those guys don't put anything in. And as podcasters, we know that there's times when you're doing podcasts with people that not necessarily as involved as you are. And it can be frustrating. So for them to, again, this goes back to the week before last where he was calling them employees and people was like, oh, why is he disrespecting him that way? They are actually employees, and he was actually writing what he's saying. If you was working anywhere else and you just decided that you didn't want to turn up for your work for whatever purpose, you would just be fired. It won't be all of this conversation. It won't be, oh, you're coming back. Unless you got HR. They might do your HR thing and say, why didn't you come back? And if they felt that they was bullied or whatever, they might go for it. But you will have repercussions about just deciding you're not going to turn up for work.
So, thank you. Simone, initial thoughts. What do you think?
I just feel like there was a miscommunication somewhere along the line because, and I totally understand what Wahala's saying. And like, I listened to a few parts of the podcast today, a few different times. They at some point were under the impression, I don't know where this impression came from, that they had either a bigger stake in this podcast or that they were an equal partner, because there's no way that somebody could be this angry if they knew their place. As in, you know, Joe is the employer, they're the employees, and, you know, everybody's meant to be living hunky-dory. Because for me, if I was to join anything late, I'd want to clarify where my place is, what my points are, what I'm meant to be doing, what I'm bringing to the table, so that there are no wires crossed. But clearly, Joe is making it very, very clear that there's contracts in place. They knew their position. I have no idea why they're doing this at this point in time. But clearly, for, you know, asking for auditing and this, they think they've been shafted. So for that reason, they either think the contract has been breached or that Joe has breached the contract, or they found a loophole within it, because the math is not mathing. It sounds like there is a big part missing from both sides. Like, Joe can't just keep on saying, you know, I'm the employer, they're the employees and they knew it. And then these two guys talking about auditing, equity, you know, I want to see the accounts. How much money did we get from the initial deal and those types of things? They think that they're more important than they were. Well, that's debatable about whether they are or not, but there is definitely a massive, massive miscommunication between the two. And you know what they say, three sides to a story, both sides and then the truth.
Okay. Stavros, what do you think? As a mic person on the ESM podcast.
Go on, Mahala.
No, I always agree that A-Mike, I don't disagree with that.
Oh, yeah, but I thought you were going to say something.
No, Mo will need to take a shot because she thought she was taking a shot, but I agree with her, so it's not a shot.
I feel, I don't know, I understand from the business point of view, I get what Jill's talking about, and yes, it makes sense. Can't argue with him too much in regards to it's my business and you guys are employees and know your position. But being in a similar situation as him, working with other people that you count as friends, and here's the thing, this is the angle I'm coming at it from. This is most the majority of my feelings on it is the friendship dealing with it on that side. I just don't feel you should treat your friends the way he treated those people if he's counting them as friends. So I know more he counts as a friend, and it seems from today's episode that Rory is not somebody that he necessarily ever saw as a friend. He saw him as an employee. Maybe he saw that he brought something to the table and he was happy to utilize his skills. And then once Rory got over too big for his boots, he put him back in his place very hard today. And I just felt that unless he's done something behind the scenes that has been quite rude and personal, then it didn't need to be as vicious as it was this episode.
Yeah. Well, my initial thoughts, I was actually listening to today's episode on my morning walk that I take and listening away. And then the episode disappears off Apple Podcasts. So I was like, what's going on? And I thought they've deleted it because it was getting to that point when I was listening where he was starting to talk about what's been going on. So I quickly went to Castbox because I know if you delete it, there's a delay that takes at least another hour, half an hour. And I'll download it from there and then I can have the episode actually on my phone to listen to. But my thing was, I don't disagree too much with what Joe was saying. However, I don't agree. I think what Stavros was saying, this is was the correct way to deal with this situation, considering that these people are supposed to be your friend and you're supposed to love them. And I do think, going back to Simone's point, there has been some kind of breakdown in communication where the guys think they do have some equity in the podcast. And I think Joe has kind of said some things to the audience. So when they were going through the whole Spotify deal, he kind of talked about, we're going through this together. He gave the impression that this was like a joint negotiation. So this whole employee talk feels very recent.
Very.
And that's where I think that there's a bit of a contradiction. That's my initial thoughts.
Yep.
Sorry, Big Wahala, go for it.
Yeah, so I kind of agree with that. I think that it's one of those situations where he kept on saying we. And I get why you do that, because if you don't, it's going to also, again, alienate the other two and make them feel like they're not important. So as a business tactic, it's good to make everybody feel like they're involved in the situation. And maybe he did at some point want to get them involved, like when the network was being built. And what he did allude to certain things later, where he said, you know, he gave them opportunities to be more involved in the business. Mo, I think you've managed before, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Simone, have you managed before as well?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay. And Stav, I know you've done it in your capacity as well. And one of the things as managers that people tend to do is that they tend to try and give people a little bit of responsibility to see how they flourish in that responsibility. To see, you know, so if somebody might come up to you and give you an idea and say, I don't know, I think we should sell flowers. Okay, fine. All right. If you think we should sell flowers, you show me why, or bring me a proposal as to why we should sell flowers, and then show me what you can do with those flowers. And then you expect that person to go away because they seem to be enthusiastic about it, and then come back with this proposal and then do it. And a lot of the times when people make all these suggestions, and then when you ask them to go out themselves and do it, they tend not to do it unless they're really, really, really a go-getter. They tend to say, oh, you know what? This person wasn't interested in my ideas.
I think.
And yada, yada, yada. And it doesn't happen. So he alluded that he gave them the opportunities to do these types of things and to be more involved. I know he definitely was, as much as we might just brush off some of the things he said, I know he was always asking Mo, maybe you should do this. Maybe you should do that. And Mo was really like, yeah, maybe. Maybe not. Blah, blah, blah. And I could see that for somebody that like me, that would be more proactive in trying to do stuff with the podcast, if I was him as the person that obviously owns it, to see the other two just riding like along, because, you know, you can, because some people can do that. If you're allowing them to do that, they will do it. It can get frustrating at times. So I do think he did give them opportunities to try and be more involved in it. But I definitely agree with you that he kind of alluded to the public anyway, that it was a, you know, all of them were involved, including Parks. Although Parks, I think everyone kind of understood that Parks is more out of it than the other two. But he did allude like they're a family, you know, we do this together. But if you're going to be making major decisions like that, even if you are, even if they're not, you know, equal partners, you will still speak to them anyway, because, you know, they are an integral part of the employees. So you are going to get them involved in the negotiations. Same way that if any chairman of a business will still get his, you know, board of directors involved in the conversation. They don't own necessarily the company, but they are major, you know, have like an investment in the company because that's where they work. So I get why you would say, you know, ask blah, 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 blah. But it does give a false narrative to the public anyway, definitely.
Just to your point about them being like board directors, then when Joe said that Rory has to take some time out, why wasn't Mal consulted? And that's the thing, because if it was, even though I don't have equity, but if I'm part of the decision making process, I think that was what one of Mal's like gripes, that he wasn't even involved in that discussion.
Because their hierarchy is not what they thought it was. As I said, I was talking loosely with the board of directors thing. I was just saying that if you're heavily involved in the company, then you'll ask the questions. But with that is, I think it was a case of he was kind of annoyed. He spoke to the rest of the people that was there at the time. He did say that he did message Mo to tell him, and Mo didn't really come back or whatever. So I'm very impatient with having to wait for certain people when I want to do something. If I have to keep asking or keep calling and calling and calling to get back to me and it's long and I don't hear nothing back, I think you should just go ahead with a decision. That's me personally. But if this is my podcast and I don't want this guy to come back, I'm going to tell the guy and then I'll tell you after. I don't necessarily have to run out and ask you. You're saying, why didn't he ask more? But if he didn't ask more, should I get rid of Rory? That then gives more, even further indication that his opinion is going to matter in this situation. Because when I've asked you and then you tell me, no, you should keep him, and then I do it anyway, that's just going to cause even further upset, because now I haven't listened to you when you've made a decision.
Okay. Simone, you wanted to chime in?
Yeah. One major issue for me is that it seems that Joe's picking and choosing when he wants to pull rank. So when he had the issue that Wahala was talking about just now about him texting Rory and telling Rory not to come, obviously Mar was upset about that and said, you know, you should have consulted me. I think in that instance, Joe decided to pull rank because he didn't feel supported by Mar. And I think that Joe is a little bit wishy-washy. I think he's picking and choosing when he wants to decide that he wants to be an employer, or when he wants to be a friend. Because you can't turn around and say today that, you know, Rory's nobody to you and stuff, when you've been riding with Rory for a really, really long time. So clearly, like, you know, everybody's been saying the relationship has been breaking down and has been breaking down for a while. As an employer, it's, you know, you don't wait till, you know, a complete escalation. This should have been done months ago, when, you know, everybody that has been listening to the podcast has been saying there's tension, you know, Rory was dropping subliminals, Mal looked like he was, you know, zoning out. That would have been the time to address some of the issues that you had as an employer. you've ignored that completely because obviously it was entertainment and, you know, people were still watching, you were still getting the buy-in. And then all of a sudden now it's hit ahead and now it's become this major issue. And now all of a sudden, all of these different factors have come into place. I don't know why, but I just, the whole thing just doesn't sit right. Like Stav said, these people are meant to be your friends. And I know that we'll probably talk about it a little bit later about, you know, friendships and business. But for me, something here just, it still does not sit right. I don't think he needed to come with the aggression that he came with today. You cannot be telling people, you know, you're not important and all this, that and the other, while throwing in, oh, but I love you. I love the guys. You know, it was really patronizing and condescending in my opinion. And I just feel like it was complete shambles. And it will be, I know he said the podcast is like done, but he did say there might be a point of reconciliation later. I'm not necessarily sure that that's going to happen, but it will be interesting to see what his next move is.
He didn't say the podcast is done. He said that them two, well, definitely one is out. There's avenues for him to come back potentially down the line. And maybe, and like towards the end of the episode, he said that maybe Mo is out as well. That's what it seemed like. I think, like Mo said, it seemed like to be like a slip almost, or well, somebody said it. It seemed like he didn't want to say it. And then towards the end, it's almost like he said, F it, I'm just, everybody's gone. I'm starting from scratch. And so he said they got to cut down now to one episode a week instead of two. And all the other bonus content or any other second episode is going to be on the Patreon now. He's putting the majority of the work now behind the paywall and just having the 1 3-hour or whatever episode a week that they're going to be putting out for free as normal. Now, I just feel that he did allow these people to have this thought in their head that things were equal between them. And it's his own fault, for one, because of what he's been saying and doing over the time. And then secondly, this thing about having, because what he seemed very upset with Rory about, one of the things he mentioned was that he was asking for documentation, for audits, for what's happening with the numbers. Apparently he didn't know what they were getting paid from Spotify. This was news to me. It's like, he didn't know what the Spotify deal was. He didn't know how much money was coming in. He was really just getting a monthly or weekly wage. There's your pay. You shut up and take your money and do what you want. So when he started asking questions, Joe was really like, whoa, who are you to ask these kind of questions? But that is not what we got as consumers. I mean, I don't really listen to the podcast anyways. I don't see how people do it 7 hours a week. Mo always used to say that, you know, Joe Biden, along with all these refreshing and uplifting and positive podcasts, the Joe Biden podcast was her weekly dose of toxicity. And I always said, what is toxic about it? But this episode showed you what is toxic about the Joe Biden podcast, because that was a toxic episode. And I just feel that I get... Go on.
I don't understand why you and Simone, I don't know if Mo, because Mo hasn't said it yet, I don't see this as that big of a deal.
Imagine I said that about my co-host.
But you are not Joe Budden. Yeah, this is the thing. This is what Joe Budden does every single week. All right. This is not something that is new to the listener. This is not something that's new. And Stav, as much as you might not be like this on online or whatever, he or maybe on a podcast, he was very he reminded me of you in one section where he was like, you're almost calling me a liar. When I'm telling you this, that, and the other, you're almost calling me a liar and you're calling me a thief. That's what he felt. And that's where he was seeing that he was getting his most agitated. And I think that if the same thing was accused in your way, I know you won't be the type of person that would just be as dismissive as him. I reckon you'd probably, somebody was asking certain questions, you can be dismissive, but I don't think you'd be dismissive in these particular types of situations. I think you'd be really upset as well if you felt that somebody was calling you a liar and a cheat. But again, I don't think you would bring it to the podcast. So I get that. But you're not Joe Biden.
This is the point. They had those issues and they voiced it to him in private, and they had issues in private, and then he put it on the pod. Now, I'm an open person and I'm open.
No, he didn't. This is the thing. Remember, this has been happening for weeks.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. He's mentioning it now.
Yeah, but the thing about this now is that he's kept it quiet for weeks, and he said that he allowed those guys to have the opportunity to come and say what they wanted to say. They didn't say anything. Because if you listen to that podcast when they was there, he kept on saying to them, have you got something you want to say? And it was kind of like, no, you know, we're happy, blah, blah, blah. They were happy. And he's like, I kept on asking him, are you sure you have nothing else to say? Can I keep it quiet?
The one where they came back?
Yeah. And he's like, I'm keeping quiet. So you've got something to say. And they're like, yeah, no, we've, you know, we're all cool. We're fine, blah, blah, blah. But clearly they weren't fine. So again, I think that if he had kept quiet now, I come on the podcast again and these guys are not there and they said nothing, everybody will be on his case. Like, what's wrong with you? You say you're transparent. You haven't told us anything. You say you're transparent. You haven't told us anything. You say you're transparent. So then now he tells us everything. Everybody's like, you should have told anyone this. You should have said this. You should have said that. Which one do you want?
Big Wahala.
Yes.
I don't know, like coming to a podcast and telling your co-hosts, whether they be employees or partners or whatever, that they're fired.
Mm-hmm. The Trump stool of...
For me, that goes into the toxic territory. Coming and talking about what's been going on, yeah, like, you know, they talk about being transparent, but there were certain things that I felt, especially because they were not there, that maybe was a bit inappropriate to share.
But he thought they were going to be there and they didn't turn up.
Yeah, but, you know...
Again, I can understand somebody's frustration when you think somebody's going to be there and they just don't turn up. That's why I think Parks... If you notice, Parks was not... Usually Parks is more like, oh, you know... Parks was vexed today.
I wasn't impressed with Parks this episode.
I was impressed with Parks. I was impressed with Parks.
I think he could have stayed a bit more
Parks,
neutral.
Nah, Parks came across... They're messing with his money.
Parks came across...
They're messing with Parks' money.
As a bitchy.
Yes.
No, but I don't think he's not. But this is the thing. I don't think Parks is normally like that. But I think he felt disrespected that, you know, you're doing this thing with us and you're just not turning up.
Okay. So I actually have some like questions I wanted to ask everybody. Okay. So first, I'm going to put it out to the group. Rory and Mull's contributions to the pod. Like, do we think they are, you know, instrumental to like the success of the pod? Does it matter that Mull came in later? Does it matter that Rory was there from the beginning? Like, what's your thoughts? And I'm going to throw it over to, you know, I'm going to throw it over to Stav. As someone that has got an ensemble podcast, what do you think, where you've got like different people?
I've said it on our podcast, the expansion podcast, when we discussed them, that Joe Budden is a brand in and of himself. This episode, he spoke for 2 hours before he let anybody else speak. Even when he asked him to speak, he actually cut them off. How can you be speaking for 2 hours and when you say, what's your opinion? Well, I don't want to hear your opinion. It doesn't matter what your opinion is. So he's, and I sat there and I listened to the whole thing. He's his own brand. I keep saying he will be good until he's not good. Something maybe one day might blow up in his face and like he might get cancelled or something like that. I don't know what it is. But until that point, as a product in and of himself, he's fine. He does not need those two. I don't listen to the podcast, but it's not because those two are on it or not on it. I've heard that the other co-hosts that he brought on were some people were saying they were even better than the ones he had before. So I don't think you'll have any issues in the long run. There will be people that leave the podcast now because they're not happy with the change for whatever reason, whether they don't like how he did it or they actually prefer the other two guys or they don't like the fact that a lot of it's going to go behind the paywall now and all of that stuff. So that's going to change the dynamics. The numbers will fall slightly, but in the long run, Joe Budden has a decent mind. He works hard and he's a good brand. So he should be cool.
So to summarize, Joe Budden is Beyonce and he can go on to do his solo career.
Yes.
Big Wahala, what do you think? So Rory and Mull's contribution, like, what do you think?
I was... I was under the impression that their contribution was a lot more until Ice and Ish came on and I just blatantly preferred the podcast with Ice and Ish. Like, I blatantly preferred it. It was a much better podcast. It flowed better. You can see that this is somebody that Joe Budden actually respects a little bit. And they don't have the same... Because as much as people talk about Parks kissing Joe's bum or whatever... Rory and Mo do the same thing. Like, they hardly have... When they do have disagreements, it's over the most stupid things. Like, and I'm just like, oh, this is a stupid disagreement. And it's almost like... Maybe this is how people see me as Stav when we argue about things that's unnecessary. Like, I see them arguing about the most ridiculous things and I'm just like, you're going back and forth about something that is just ridiculous. I remember that I was having an argument about whether or not Drake was was promoting to college students, and it was going on for ages. Oh, they have the same arguments with the same jokes that's dry about the stream all the time. Oh, what's a stream? Is it easier to, like, they run the same jokes back and back, and I'm like, I'm bored of it now. So I think once they left and he was with Ice and Ish, it showed me how much they weren't needed there. If that made sense. I couldn't, don't think I could listen to a podcast if Joe said, I'm not coming in this week, and it was just literally, you know, Rory and Mo. I think, even there's sometimes when Joe goes home early and they're there at the end and they haven't really got nothing to say to each other, so they just end it.
They did an episode in the olden days, way back when, and where Joe wasn't there for an episode and it didn't really work.
Yeah, I can't remember that episode. But I think that... again, from what I can see as a podcaster looking in, I can see who's contributing and who's not for me. I see that Joe's the one that comes with the topics. He's also said, you know, I've come up with my pad of topics. I can see that he's the one that's flowing the conversation the way he wants to go. I see that he's the one that's prepared to, you know, put himself out there to make the conversation maybe flow a bit better, or maybe just come up with something off the cuff just because you can see that the podcast is, you know, no energy or something like that. Whereas I don't think that the rest of them do. There's times when you hear him in the past ask Mo, you know, Mo, come and you lead the podcast, you lead it forward. And Mo doesn't come with anything. He's blatantly a person that's just there to, you know, I can do this every couple of hours. And even then, he doesn't even feel like he wants to do it for the every couple of hours a week. And I'll get my money and I'll go home. So for me, Mo was moving like an employee on the podcast. I think Rory at least tried to be more heavily involved in it. So I'm not going to say that Rory, you know, did nothing. I think he did try to get involved. You know, there's times when he would maybe try and make a phone call to some of these people that he could speak to and stuff like that. But, I don't think that the podcast is going to be any lesser without those two, if I'm going to be completely honest.
So Simone, Rory and Marl's contribution, you're someone that's listened to the pod from way back when. What do you think?
I think we've got to take into consideration where the podcast actually is now before Ice and Ish have come along. And we can't ignore that Rory and Marl are a part of that, whether we think that they've, you know, added a topics or, you know, they've actually pulled their weight a lot. Where the podcast is now is definitely because of those two and Parks. I don't think that can be discounted at all. I do agree with Wahala. I did enjoy the episodes with Ice and Ish, but I don't know if that was just because it got to a point where it was difficult to listen to because of all of the backbiting with Rory and Marl. I feel like I just keep going back to the point where if Joe is meant to be a boss, then he needed to have intercepted earlier and said, you know, this is what I need from you to bring to the pod, because you can't be complaining 5-6 years down the line that these guys never did anything. You know, they've not been doing anything for 5 or 6 years. So to now be complaining seems a little bit weird to me now. It's like you just want to strengthen your argument. But whether they, you know, had lots of topics or they weren't really pulling their weight or they were just showing up week to week, you know, I just don't think we can discount that for 5 to 6 years, these two guys have been showing up, they've been engaging in conversation, they've built a following. Whether the podcast can survive now without them, you know, it's proven that it can, but definitely before, they have made a massive contribution to this podcast to help get it where it is. And I just don't think that we can say that they didn't bring anything to the table.
For me, I agree. They definitely contributed. However, Joe did mention that they haven't put in any money themselves. So in terms of, like, you know, I don't know, the cost of running the podcast, they don't contribute. Even little things like hosting, like you guys will know with like your podcast, like I'm assuming you share like the cost of like hosting your podcast, equipment, you know, other podcasts, if they have to go to studio, they have to share their studio costs. And there's employees that Joe says that he pays for. So... yeah, that's why I understand him referring to them as employees. But the actual podcast itself, I think definitely we have to acknowledge that they were instrumental in bringing the podcast to where it is now. However, that break of 6 weeks, if they had cut that time in half, I think their negotiation position would have been better because it gave the replacements, Ish and Ice, an opportunity to show that the podcast can work without them. People got used to them and actually enjoyed them. And now their negotiation power is absolutely gone because it's been proven that you are replaceable.
Was it six weeks or six episodes?
No, I think it was like 6 weeks because that's what Joe kept him referring to, that they've already had 6 weeks off and now they're in their seventh week.
Okay.
I don't know if it was that long.
It was a long time.
It felt long, yeah.
Do you know one of the things that I felt kind of indicated to me when I was like, this, your mentality is completely different. When I could see that Parks and Joel have a completely different mentality than definitely Mo. Rory didn't want to say nothing because I think even Rory understood. Is when Mo was complaining that they continued the podcast. And I was like, well, what do you want them to do? This is somebody's business. Like, do you just want us to stop the podcast because you and Joel are angry at each other? And he was like basically saying yes. And then he was then saying, oh, the podcast was trash. Like, I want to come, anyway, maybe me, Stav says things like that in the past, but I want to come on something that I think is part of my brand and start saying that the thing was trash. I wouldn't do that. Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't do that because I'm upset with that you've carried on without me. I would acknowledge the fact that people enjoyed the podcast and I say, you know what? I'm glad that you guys continued while I was away, you know, but I'm back now and blah, 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 blah. But he was like saying that he felt upset about that. But if I'm a business person and this is my business, I'll surely want it to continue. So that's when I had a clear indication that Mo is not part of this business, because no business person would want their business to stop completely because there's a disagreement. Yeah. If you know that you've got sponsors, you've got all of these people that are paying all this money, and most importantly, and this is what I say, I agree with a lot of things that Parks is very centered about, because Parks kind of knows that he's an employee with an interest. That's how I see Parks. Parks is an employee with an interest that believes that, you know, if he continues, he'll have, when something does happen, something big does happen, he will have, you know, his portion of what
Parks
he deserves.
Parks has a stake.
I think so too.
Potentially, but Joe never alluded to that, and he called himself an employee. Yeah, but Parks himself today said, I get paid a good salary. Mm-hmm. He said salary. He didn't say that he's got equity or all this type of stuff.
I honestly believe Parks has, even if it's a small percentage, but I believe Parks has some skin in the game.
Maybe, but I really think that Parks is just understands that I come on this podcast, I do 6 hours work, and I probably get paid more money doing this than I do mixing down albums that take me 10 hours. Do you know what I mean? And he just sees it in that way. And he says that, again, he said to himself today, he gets paid very well doing this podcast. And I think a lot of people, if they actually found out how much Rory and Mo was getting paid, and then found out how much the majority of podcasters was getting paid, if they even get paid, people will have a different stance on this situation. Because okay, the way they were talking is like, they're not giving you £5 an hour. Do you know what I mean?
We'll get to the money. Simone, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I think a couple of weeks ago, Parks had alluded to the fact that whenever he's got any things that he needs to discuss, he has somebody that he goes to who handles that. So he's clearly not talking business directly with Joe. And I thought that was quite interesting. I don't know if it's a lawyer. I don't know if it's Ian. I'm not sure who it is that he speaks to, but he has somebody that I'm guessing is handling his business with Joe, and the other guys are dealing directly with Joe. And I thought that was weird at the time. But now that this has all come out, you know, Parks has clearly found a way in which he and Joe can work together. They might even have a small friendship on the side, but they understand the business. And I think that that's why a lot of people were surprised with how Parks was acting today in the podcast. I didn't have an issue with anything that Park said. I feel that he's quite open. I'm sure that anything he said on the pod, he said to Rory and Mar already, because it'll be quite hard to now go and sit in their faces and you know, smile after, you know, siding essentially with Joe. But I think that Mo's right. He either has a bigger stake or, you know, he's benefiting a lot more from this arrangement than the other two. And for all we know, that could also be part of the catalyst for why they're asking questions.
Well, it is his house. Mm. He does mix the podcast. So to be honest, he has more value than the two of them. And just to go back to what you were saying with him having someone, he doesn't have someone himself. He said he has no manager. So Parks hasn't got a manager. But Parks speaks to Joel's manager and doesn't speak to Joel. That's what he said. I don't speak to Joel about business. And he said he was very...
Okay, that's what it is then.
Yeah, he said he was very clear about it. He goes, I don't speak to Joe about business, because he almost basically says, if you start speaking to your friend about business, he knows that it can cause a problem and it can cause an issue. So I don't speak to Joe about business. I speak to the manager, and that's the person I deal with. So if there's any complications or any issues, I go to Joe's manager. And then that allows me and Joe to continue with our friendship and continue with our working relationship without there being a problem regarding money or whatever, because it's not you that's telling me this, it's your manager. And as you can see, Joel don't know how to speak properly to anyone anyway. So I think that's more beneficial.
I think the issue is that, yeah, Mar and Rory see their triangle as a friendship with business on the side. And obviously, Budden sees it as a business with friendship on the side now. And I think Parks has worked, because maybe, I don't know how long Mar has known Budden, but Parks has worked with Budden for, I've heard, maybe 2 decades. And you get to know somebody so well, it's like, I don't like X, Y, and Z about you, but I know how to deal with X, Y, and Z now. And in his case, it's like, yeah, I just don't deal with business with Budden. Budden, as a friend, he's fine. You know, he might go off on this or that or blah, 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 but he's honest. At least I appreciate that. Yada, yada, yada. But when it comes to business, he's either not good at it or he's bad at mixing business and pleasure himself. So let me deal with his manager, because on top of how he's interacted with him one-on-one, he would have seen Budden interact with umpteen people. And like, it's best I just speak to the business manager as opposed to Budden. And these other people have come into the equation and they don't know that. And they're just like, yeah, we're friends. We are the ones talking every week, because Parks didn't talk that much from when I listened to it. It's only he came into his own more recently. So we are the ones talking every week. If we are not, it's like it's a trifecta of us. If I'm not talking, there's no podcast really. Like, if there's two of us leave, one of us can't do it by ourselves. So we're a threesome. And yeah, so that's why we talk about money and talk about business, because we're a partnership. And but I didn't see them as a partnership.
Just to add to that, Stav, Parks, yes, has worked with Joe a really long time, but I think Joe and Mole's friendship has been just as long, because they've actually like lived together, and you know, they talk about a lot of like, you know, stories and things that they've done together. So, but I think the podcast was the first time that they've worked together in a professional perspective. Whereas I think with Parks, he can put that into like separate departments. So he's got his like business relationship and he's got his friendship. And I think he's been able to just keep those like really separate, and still maintain a really great friendship, and also a really great business relationship. Whereas I think Mal was like, we're boys, we're friends.
How could you do that? And he's got his respect ethos that he has, you know, he holds to high esteem in himself and he expects from other people. For me, if I'm going to be super honest, when it comes to the podcast that I do with my 4 friends or three friends and a brother, that we have so many of these same issues arise in our podcast, but I look at it like my friendship is much more important than the business. And to be honest, there is no business. Maybe if we were talking about the kind of money that they were talking about, or we from the outside are looking at, maybe that might be an issue, but because there's very little money, there's very little issues. But as far as I'm concerned, it's friendship first and business second. So whenever there's a business issue, I put the friendship first.
Can I ask a question about that then?
Yeah, well, hello, Walter.
So say, for instance, you were, you know, being offered like the big, you know, the big deal kind of thing. You don't have to answer this question if it's not appropriate. I'm going to ask it anyway.
The business.
Say like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Tidal, you know, Jay-Z is like on the phone. He's like, yo, like, you know, we're ready to cut this deal.
Yes, Hove. Yes.
Yeah. The splits. Is it a 5-way split? Is someone getting a little bit more? Someone getting a little bit less?
You see, this is the thing. So Stav, business. Stav says even, yeah?
It's right? Evens. 20%.
But I personally, and I would feel very upset if my co-host felt any different, that I think Stav should get more money than all of us.
Yeah.
Even if it's free, even if it's 5% more than every single one of us. But I know that staff doesn't want that. But I think that staff should get more money than all of us, because I know that we cannot, even as a collective together, say that we have done as much hours of work as staff has for this podcast. So if somebody wants to be honest with themselves, then they will be honest enough to say, you know what, in this situation, I feel like, even if it's to say, from this first deal, before the money has arrived, we're going to give staff, for this, I don't know, 2-year contract, staff should have most money just to give him back the amount of time that he's done in the past. But going forward, in any next deal, it's split 5 ways. But then I would expect those people to, now that I've seen money, will say, you know what, I'm going to now work a bit harder so I can make sure that the money that I'm receiving is deserved. Because as much as I know that I do, I'll come in a podcast, I'm a superstar on that podcast every week, obviously. But I can't look my own, I can't look anyone in the eye, and if they ask me, do you think that staff deserves more money than you, I tell them, no, that's crazy. I would never. We don't even do the tasks that we've set. He does some of the tasks that we've set. We've all reset tasks and we don't do them. And sometimes he's doing the tasks that we've set for us. So I know full well that he deserves more money than us. But I know that he's the type of person, just because, again, he said the friendship is more important than the money. Just in case that I think that he'll be upset that maybe somebody will come out and say, well, you don't deserve it, and he didn't have to be annoyed about it. He would just take the split.
Interesting.
I think it's very noble of you both, though, because Stav is saying split it equally, and you're saying, you know, he deserves a little bit more. But I think your characters are completely different to, you know, who we're dealing with on the Joe Budden podcast. Obviously, like you say, it's important. Your relationships with each other are important to you. And that's why I don't think you guys would have the same issues if money was introduced. I think you would iron this out until everybody was on the same page, as opposed to, you know, going ahead with a deal where 2 people were disgruntled and 3 people were happy. I just from the answers that the 2 of you have just given, you would work it out and you'd all be on the same page before, you know, money was actually introduced.
I think that's nice, but when there's money on the table, I think things can change. And not to say that anyone becomes like a horrible person. I think it's, you know, human nature to look after your self-interest. And yeah, I would agree with Big Wahala that I think Stavros should get more money, but Big Wahala, maybe not everyone would agree with you. So it's kind of like, you know, it's in a hypothetical situation. Yeah, we can like say that, yes, we're all going to split it. But I think it only seemed like they were starting to have like real problems when the Spotify deal was on the table and there was those negotiations and stuff like that. That's when you start to talk about, well, I bring this to the podcast, I should get this much money, blah, blah, blah. When there's no money involved, it's easy to say. Yeah, I don't think Stav would come and demand more, but you know what? Actually, let me not speak for him.
I think it depends what the agreement was.
Yeah, let me not speak for him because we're going to come to him. But I'm not sure if everybody would be happy if he was getting more.
I think that, I hear what you're saying.
But I don't know.
No, I hear what you're saying, but I don't want to put my co-host in the spot by not saying that. But they have themselves said the same thing.
Okay.
So it's not a case that it's just Wahala saying it. I've heard Simple Simon say it. I've heard Mr. Wolf definitely say it. I don't know about Web Slinger, but I can't see Web Slinger coming to say, yes, I deserve the same amount of money as any. I can't see him saying that. I think as long as it's not what we would see as unreasonable, so like we get 10% and then Stav gets 60%. Then everybody, like, you're just taking a mick now.
And if he puts you on a salary.
Yeah, exactly. If it's something like where you get 18% and then whatever the last number would be, he gets the rest. So maybe 18, I think like 24 or 25 or whatever, or 26 or something in it. Then I think people will be like, ah, yeah, that makes sense. But if you're dealing with millions and millions of pounds, right? As far as I'm concerned, if I'm making millions and millions of pounds, let him have that extra money. I'm still making millions and millions of pounds. And I got to enjoy my life a lot more than he did when we was first doing the podcast. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, but that's just me. I'm also his brother, so I'm also expecting my cut from his money anyway, regardless. So, you know
one
what I mean?
One more thing, can I ask? What if Jay, you know, he was like, yeah, we want to make it a title exclusive, But that was my Jay-Z impression. But okay. he said, we're going to call it, you know, Stavros Boss plus Friends.
Do I still get the same money?
Yeah, you get the same money, but it's now become the Stavros Boss.
I knew Wahala was going to say that. I knew that.
Yeah, but as long as I get the same money.
Plus the he's.
I don't care. It's not like I'm not looking for... I'm married. I'm not looking for gals, so that's not a problem anymore. I'm not looking for the fame. All I care about is the money now. So this is more of a case of the money. When the podcast actually comes out and people listen to the podcast, they'll know that this is not just Stav. Exactly. You know that everyone else is on there, isn't it? It's not going to be the biggest deal. So if they said it, Stavros and Friends, I think I'll be all right with it. I'll be like, that's fine. I am very much, this is Stavros' podcast. And I think he's the best on the podcast. I always say it. People always say, blah, blah, blah. They think I'm joking. I say constantly, Stavros is the best on the podcast. I think this is kind of Stavros' podcast, even though I was there from the first episode, but it is his baby. It was his inception. It was his brain that decided it is him that made the name, all of this stuff. It just so happens that we made an agreement at the beginning that it's all our podcast, but it is still Stav's podcast, if you know what I mean. So if they was to call it Stavros and Friends, I'll say it's a dry name, but it's not better than eloquently. It's not better than eloquently saying nothing. But that's what they want to call it. Fine, if they want to call it eloquently saying nothing, for Stavros and Friends, I'll be like, that's not a problem. I'll be like, what's his name? What's the black one in the rat pack that no one knew about?
What do you mean no one knew about him?
Well, I knew about him. Junior.
Yeah, but he didn't call him by name. It was what's his name's figma, and then was Friends.
No, he was one, no.
He was always with I don't agree with that one. Sorry.
He was Friends.
I think you need to know.
It was D Martin, innit? D Martin. Anyway, listen to the whole colorful conversation.
Weren't Frank Sinatra in there as well?
Yes, Frank Sinatra was the leader. And Sammy Davis Jr. Yeah, there was a leader, but those other two were because there's about five or six of them. So those three were the main ones. Sammy Davis Jr., that's Frank Sinatra, and the other one. So yes.
D Martin,
yeah.
Stav, you've been really quiet during this part of the conversation. What say you?
Yeah, because we're recording.
Are you ready to like, you know, get rid of the he's and just go it alone, you know, with Stavros and Friends like DJ Khaled?
Well, I've got three different podcasts, so I haven't gone it kind of alone, if you want to look at it like that. But I wouldn't want to call the podcast just me. As far as I'm concerned, ESN is our podcast, and regardless of what work each of us brings to the table, it works because the five of us are there, and it's our podcast. And so it's almost like if we can't do it, then there's no point in it being done. Let's do something else. If it was just like me and Mr. Wolf wanted to do, everybody else left the podcast, and it was just me and Mr. Wolf, then let's retire ESN. Me and Mr. Wolf can do a separate podcast. You get me? The name is important to me, but it's just the name. Once it's our name, it's our crew, it's our pod. And once you try and fracture that, once you take things out of it, so this is the opposite of the Joe Budden podcast, which is, that's the thing. It's Joe Budden's podcast. It was his name. When it was called, we'll name this podcast later, and then they actually called it the Joe Budden podcast. I was like, but Fred, he's okay. But then you really know it's his podcast, whereas ESN is our podcast. As far as I'm concerned, it's a bunch of friends talking. And once you take the friends away and put them away, then it's something else. So we might as well do something else.
I think this is going to have repercussions in terms of, I think there will be some ensemble podcasts where it's more than two people. I think where it's two people, I think it's easy to work out like the splits. But where it's more than two people, I think it would be a good time, or it might bring to the surface conversations about like, okay, what would the potential splits be? And maybe even in terms of like workload, like let's try and make it a bit more even. I don't know. Like,
you're talking about other podcasters. I'm going to start talking about
other podcasters, like just in general.
So Mo, what are you saying, man? What's the split?
Yeah, what between me and you on the expansion that pod? Yeah. It's 50-50, you know.
Okay, fair dues.
Yeah.
You do a lot
until,
more work.
Until then, I find someone new.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
No, it's 50-50. That's easy because there's just two of us, but I think it becomes a little bit more complicated when there's like three plus people.
It's always the case. It's always the case.
Yeah.
The same way money is the reason why most relationships, as in partnerships, man and woman, usually, you know, not to offend anybody, but that is the reason, the number one reason why marriages break up because of money. It's the same thing with friendships. It's just usually friends, money is not involved in friends unless it's who's paying for this dinner or can you sort me out for this or that. Money is not a major part in friendships usually. Once you start introducing business into the equation, that is when money is introduced into the equation. And then that is where you have the term like friend, don't mix friends and money. Don't, you know, don't mix friends and business. It's not really friends and business. The business is not the issue. The money is the issue. And money is the big divider.
So do you think, and this is just a question to everybody, do you think that before it becomes an issue, that maybe something like formal has to be put together to just say like, okay, who owns what and you know, things like that, like from, you know, I'm just thinking from an outside perspective.
Answer, man.
Yes.
Big Wahala, you go.
I agree with Simone, especially if there's a load of people. I think it's much easier if everybody has an agreement in place that everyone's happy with. Because again, having an agreement in place doesn't mean nothing if everyone's not happy in that agreement. Because like, even if you're not happy in the agreement and there's no money, you don't really think too much about it because it's no money. And then it starts flooding in and suddenly you're more aggravated about the fact that your agreement is wrong. So, but I do think that you should all have an agreement. One that you, if you can get it, you know, put in a contract. In saying that, obviously, we don't, us guys don't actually have that, but I do think that it's better. It just makes everybody understand what, you know, what they have to do going forward.
Because I've seen examples. So, for instance, I think it was like the, is it the Call Her Daddy podcast where there was a dispute over like ownership and IP and the splits and stuff like that. You know. Like I said, like tomorrow it could be like, you know, Jay-Z might be on the phone to say, we're going to sign you exclusive UK Tidal deal.
But that was different, that one, wasn't it? Wasn't it one of them like dealing with the person that owned the company that they were on or something?
The network. So, yeah.
And then he was basically was telling them.
But the person that did the deal was, she was one of the women from the podcast. She was claiming to have a bigger ownership and they saw her as the more integral like partner as well, so they did the deal with her.
Yeah, there was a reason why she did that though. Like, she kind of gone out of her way around the other woman to not let her know what was going on, something like that. I knew it was, there was something anyway that was shady and I was like, oh, that's shady, but I can't remember exactly what it was. But yeah, it can happen. But then again, a lot of these podcasters, and I think people need to understand, or maybe they're now realizing a bit more, they're not necessarily like the ESN guys. They're probably more like Stav and Mo, who not necessarily know each other, but have made a rapport and decided to do a podcast together. A lot of these people have started podcasts without even knowing who they are, almost like boy bands and girl groups, where you don't know who the other person is. And then now suddenly you're spending hours and hours on end with that person, you know, doing a business. And then suddenly money becomes involved. And then that friendship isn't there. That understanding of the person isn't there. That trust isn't there. And you're like, yeah, of course I'm going for myself.
Which podcast?
Which podcasts are not with their friends?
Yeah,
I think like for me, I think some, even like Brilliant Idiots, I think that's a working relationship that started off as a working relationship and it's now gone into a bit where they're cool now with each other. But it started off as a working relationship.
They were cool before they started recording.
No, they were work together in whatever that show was on MTV.
Yeah.
And then they decided to do a podcast together.
Exactly.
I wouldn't say that's a friendship. I wouldn't say that's a 20-year friendship that they're bona fides. I don't know whether or not he was going to his wedding and all that stuff before the podcast started. I still think that's more of a working relationship.
I think
that's almost exactly the same as Rory and Mo. I mean, Rory and Joe. It's a working relationship because Rory used to work at the label, I think, that when Joe was around, and that's how he found Rory. I don't see that as a friendship. I see that as, oh, so you worked with somebody and now suddenly you're cool and you think you can do a work together. And they've grown closer as the podcast has gone along.
To prove Big Wahala's point, otherwise we'll stay on this. The Receipts podcast is a really great example. They didn't know each other before. They came together, created a podcast, and now they're great friends and they've got a great podcast.
It's an example. Give me another one.
Yes, an example. So I'm just saying like it can like happen.
Yeah, I'm not saying it doesn't, but it's not the norm. He's going to like, that's the norm these days.
I think it is with a lot of the people that are just starting to do more bigger podcasts. I'm not talking about the smaller ones. I think they're just throwing people together.
Yeah, well, like, that's, yeah, right, that's fair, dude. That's business. But then that's like saying most TV programs, people didn't know each other. Yeah, that's fine. The thing with Brilliant Idiots that I would like to bring back into the conversation, which identifies with the Joe Budden podcast, is that is Charlamagne and... what's the other one's
Andrew
name again?
Schultz.
Andrew Schultz. And Andrew Schultz was... Charlamagne was popular before the podcast started. He was on the radio. He had a syndicated show and he was a big person in America before the podcast. Andrew Schultz was an up-and-coming comedian who was working the circuit. Now, Andrew Schultz is, I believe he's a millionaire. He's had programs on Netflix and he tours America like constantly, sell out.
He was on MTV.
Yeah, he had an MTV show, but that he wasn't big. Nobody knew him from there. The point is, Andrew Schultz is quite happy to say, when people say, you know, would you be where you are if it wasn't for Charlamagne? He will say, no. There's no way on earth I wouldn't be where I am now because of Charlamagne. He says, I'm talented. I work hard. And he does actually most of the behind the scenes work on that podcast, actually, by the way. I'm talented. I work hard, blah, blah, blah. But if it wasn't for this man and his light being shined on me, I would not be where I am. It's the complete opposite of Rory and Mal, where they feel they're integral to the pod. And if I'm not here, then what do you have? You don't have the pod. So we can leave the pod and you're going to feel it. Whereas Andrew knows, boy, I could be replaced because Charlamagne is the brand name. And I'm riding the coats of the brand name. He's quite happy to say I'm riding the brand, but he's very confident in himself to know with what I do, comedy, and with what I bring to the table, because he's the one that built the studio that they do stuff in. And, you know, so all the stuff that you say Joe Budden does, that is what probably Andrew Schultz and the manager of the Brilliant Idiots podcast do. Charlamagne is when it actually just comes in and talks and then leaves.
Yeah, exactly. Regarding them though, remember there was a point in time where they had a little thing as well.
I can't remember what happened.
There was a couple of episodes where they had to basically almost what you lot are complaining about what Joe did. Charlamagne did, where he was just basically on the air just cussing Andrew. Him and Chris, I think Chris was late as well, and it was basically just cussing Andrew, saying that you're behaving like this, the way you seem to have an issue, you need to, you know, deal with what you, I think,
oh, maybe when, he was when, going for well. Oh, yeah, no, that was different. That was, they actually spoke as friends. There was a point where it's like people were going in on Andrew Schultz online. He was being called alt-right Andy. You know, it was whatever, for whatever reason, he was going through a dip in something or another. I don't know if it was personal life or career or whatever. And the fans were talking about it. And they said, we need to talk about it on the pod. And they spoke about it like men. He didn't just cuss him down. No.
Yeah, but it wasn't a case that was going to. They ended up, it was organic. He wasn't trying to do it on the pod.
That's fine. But the point is that he spoke to him in his face, and two, he spoke to him with respect. Like you,
I didn't know he cussed him down. But
clearly there was, I'm talking to you. I can cuss one of you mans down on the pod, but I'm not doing it out of vitriol or because I'm trying to insult you. Like this podcast where, Rory is talking about he's going to fight Joe Budden. You've got podcasts where Joe Budden is talking to Mo about I don't know how you could get girls, you know, stuff like that. There seems to be an under something of beef between the three of them sometimes. I don't know.
It was derogatory.
Yeah. Whereas with those two, it was from a place of love. Joe Budden can say he's from a place of love, but it doesn't seem to be when he's talking, because he says it out of his mouth, but it don't seem to be. It seems to be, I just need to get this off my chest. You mans have vexed me and I'm gonna yap about it.
I think he cares about Mo. I think he's just disappointed in Mo. But Rory, I think Rory he cared about until Rory basically just vexed him to the point where I think he was just saying, you're taking the mick out of me now. And I can't keep dealing with this.
And the problem with is...
Yeah, go on.
That he seems to say that... So let's stick with Mo and the relationship he has with Joe Budden. Joe Budden, he seems to be able to say, oh, you should just be business. You should just be business. But then he brings in the friendship part into the equation when he's ready. And then all of a sudden separates it and then makes it all business again. It's like, he's proper, like, make up your mind. It's either we are business partners or we're a friendship. You can't be, oh, why did he pick his side over mine? And then, but you're not a part, you shouldn't have a part of any decision because you're not a part of the business. It's like, make up your mind, bruv.
He picks and chooses.
I completely agree.
I think that goes to like Joe's character. Like, I think Simone, you mentioned that he picks and chooses when to say it's business. Oh, but then he was very upset that he felt Mal took Rory's side out of like the situation. And then
exactly.
But then it's business, and then, you know, but then on one hand he's for the creators, but then he's a businessman as well. So there's a lot of like contradictions, I feel like, there, especially that whole creator discussion. Like, let's like, maybe let's like talk about that. Joe talks about being a supporter. He's always going to be on the side of the creators. And now he's become, I don't know, he's sounding a bit like this, like, capitalist, like, you know, boss guy. What do you guys think?
Well, he openly said those two are not creators, and that's why he doesn't feel the same way about them.
Oh.
And I think that's why him and Parks have a different relationship, because Parks is a creator.
Mm.
Parks is a producer as well as what he does in the engineering stuff. So I think that's why they have a complete understanding of each other regarding business. I think they're both, you know, have worked in the music business, and that's made them the way that they are. See, this is the thing. Now, I think people hear, I'm a bit funny, because people are complaining about stuff to say that when they're talking about Puff a lot, and they're saying, oh, he's always licking Puff's ass because of this contract situation with Puff and you know, some of the Bad Boy stuff. And I always think to myself, I don't understand any other job where people feel the same way that they feel about this type of situation. Like, when they were talking about their situation with Mace, where Mace was saying that he thinks that he should get his royalties back. And I'm like, why should somebody that's paid you for this thing that you signed a contract for just give you back your royalties? Why should that happen? Because you decided that the creators should get what they get. I've still paid for these things. He offered him the chance to pay for his royalties back. Just pay them back if you want to get them back. I shouldn't have to give them to you for free because I believe that you know, creators should be paid.
No, I think the way Mace will tell it is that he was ready to buy the royalties, but Puffy was ready to sell them to somebody else.
Well, it was depending on how much money you're going to offer it to me. He said, if I remember rightly, he offered them $2 million and Mace didn't have the $2 million at the time. So then what do you want to do?
At the time, but he came back later with the money. And
they might cost $5 million now.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, let's at least tell the story correctly. Like, he wasn't asking for them for free.
No, yeah. At the time, at the beginning, he was like, give me my royalties back, wasn't he? That's what he was saying at the beginning. Like, I deserve my royalties. And he said, yeah, okay, pay the money for the royalties, I'll give them back to you. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a business decision. I don't see anything wrong. Whereas, so somebody like Joe Budden, people are like, for you to have that same opinion as Puff, how dare you have that opinion? But he's also very adamant about, you know, if you sign a contract on something, then you sign the contract. That's your business. You know, I don't think you should sign bad contracts. And I've signed many bad contracts in my time, which is why now I decide that I'm not going to sign a bad contract. But if you sign the contract, that's what's happened, isn't it? You now have to deal with the contract.
This is the same Joe Budden that will cry on his podcast where artists are not like, mm-hmm. don't have their masters. And, you know, who is it that he cried over?
De La Soul.
Yeah, about their like splits and stuff. Yeah, so I just, like I said, like I don't, it's not even about agreeing or disagreeing. It's just that the message is not consistent. Let's be honest.
Yes.
Yeah, as I said, but it depends, isn't it? It's your business.
Because to say that I want stuff from Spotify, I want this details, those details. Can you show me the papers? Can you show me the books? Can you show me the stats? And then when Rory asked to see money and this and that, you got issues. Like, brother, exactly what you asked for is what Rory asked for, and you're crying about it. And if anything, Rory and you actually have the kind of relationship where you should be like side by side talking. Sorry, go on, Simone.
Yeah, I think, you know, the bit that was a little bit alarming to me is when he was saying, you know, they're my books and I don't have to show them to you. Okay, part of that is correct, but are you hiding something that you don't need to show the books to the guides? And like you say, you can't keep on, you know, shouting from the rooftops that you're all about transparency, you know, that you're an open book, nothing to hide, I'm the therapy person and everything's on the table. As soon as somebody asks you a question that made you uncomfortable, you just clammed up. You know, there's a lot of flip-flop in there. You cannot keep on talking about transparency and then when someone says, let me see the books, you say, I don't have to show you the books, because that does make it look like you're hiding things. And that's probably why Marl and Rory decided they wanted to dig a little deeper to figure out whether they have been shafted.
But how can you be shafted? You're an employee. They've offered you a contract and you decided that you was happy with that. You agreed to that contract. I don't have to show you my books. Now we talk about the Spotify thing a lot, yeah? So Stav just mentioned the Spotify thing. But the reason why he was so adamant about the Spotify thing is because when they signed the initial contract with Spotify, they said they were going to show him the stats and figures. So that's why he was saying that he deserved to see these stats and figures. Before you stop me, let me finish talking, right? He deserved to see those stats and figures. He said that. That's why he was so adamant about it. If you heard the conversation beforehand when he was talking about with Tidal, and you ask Jay-Z, can I get my stats and figures? Jay-Z just told him, no. Are you crazy? Of course I'm not going to show you that. No. And that's why he didn't go with Tidal. He said that was one of the reasons why he didn't go with Tidal. Because when I asked Jay-Z, can I see these figures? He just told me straight up, no. Whereas Spotify told him, yes. So then when he now went to Spotify and said that he wanted to see them, he was annoyed because now they're saying, well, no, we're not going to show it to him. Or they were actually saying they were going to show it to him and they never did.
Can I say, I think it was maybe somebody did promise it, but in terms of that being a written agreement, I don't think that was the case.
I'm very sure.
I'm pretty sure because he would have pursued it. I think that was the issue. I think because he talked about the person that initially he negotiated the deal with at Spotify left.
Left, didn't it, man?
So I think that's where it kind of like fell down.
That is not where it fell down. There's just the things that I believe he must have been asking for, he would not get. It's just that simple. It's like I explained it to my wife earlier on. It's like you being an employee and saying, can you show me what's in your filing cabinet to the boss? It's like, this has got nothing to do with you. Like, literally, that's got nothing to do with you. If you want stats on who listens to you and this and that, and maybe there's going to be certain things, but the things he must have been asking for that they wouldn't give him must have been proper high-level things that is above your paycheck.
He wanted to know things like what was the conversion of like new members because of the podcast being there. He wanted to understand like how many people clicked the podcast discount code that was associated with the podcast. So you get your discount on Spotify. Like there was quite a few things he wanted to know that I don't think anyone would necessarily have that information unless you, like you said, you negotiated it as part of your contract.
I don't even see, like, me as, let's say I'm McDonald's and I say, all right, I want you to distribute this to your podcast. And then when it clicks through, fair enough, if it's Joe Budden, it's the JBP, with McDonald's strokes JBP or whatever, and all the other podcasts have their own code. McDonald's might have their own thing in the contract saying, "You like, this is for me and you as Spotify. It's got nothing to do with anybody else. It's not something that you can just farm out to your subsidiaries. Doesn't make sense. So
I think you'd have that information if you was being paid that way, but they were not. So I think
I agree with Mo.
Because like, you know where you have like a discount code, like if you're an influencer, you do have those numbers because that's obviously that's your conversion, that's your you get. Yeah, but that's off
if somebody's dealing with you directly. They're not dealing with you directly. They're dealing with
Spotify. I don't think there was agreement there.
Sorry, Stav, I'm a bit confused. What do you mean? The discount code is Spotify.
Yeah. So you,
what I'm saying is that you have a big player over here, McDonald's, mm-hmm. big player over here, Spotify, and Spotify now have hired you or paid you. You are my now worker. You are not privy to the information that I have. You are privy to a separate bunch of stats.
Can you just keep it to the actual Joe Budden thing? So what do you mean by Joe Budden? Because Spotify got Joe Budden on a contract for 2 years. They was a discount code for you to get a discount to be on Spotify.
Okay.
If you did put in the Joe Budden code, you get discount on mm-hmm. Spotify. He was asking to find out how many people use this discount code.
Then he should have put that in the contract.
But I think that Big Wahala, the difference here was I don't think it was agreed that he was going to get revenue from that code.
No, I agree with what you're saying beforehand. Yeah. I just didn't understand why Staff kept on mentioning McDonald's and then mentioning Spotify and then mentioning Joe Budden.
Well, because I didn't know about this code.
Is it just safe to say he does bad business?
I don't know how much money he's got.
He's got more money than me. Exactly. So it depends how you look at it.
No, but you can have money and still do bad business, right?
I don't know because, again, I don't know because I think that him starting up the network is a good idea.
I'm not saying it's not.
Yeah.
I think somebody else in his shoes with his talent, his voice, and basically making the same maneuvers that he's made. So starting from rap, going into doing YouTube videos, then going into podcasting, then doing the reality TV programs and stuff. Somebody else that did all that with the same talent as him could easily be making much, much more money. But somebody else could be making a lot less as well. So I think he's somewhere in the middle. I don't think he's made the best business decisions throughout his life. Even now, as a mature man, and he's been through, obviously he's signed lots of bad contracts and whatnot. Even now, I still don't think he makes the best moves. But there are people that do a lot worse than him still.
Okay. I don't know whether should we talk about predictions for the future. Let's wrap it up. What do you think, Stav?
For Joe Budden podcast or for podcasting as a whole?
Yeah, let's do both.
Because I don't see this as having any influence on podcasting as a whole. This is as much really? As you say, yeah, it's a big podcast, but that is a personal beef between the three of them, basically. It's going to make a difference to their numbers and to their fans. It's not going to make a difference to podcasting as a whole. Podcasters are not sitting there like, all right, you saw what happened with them guys. Let's not let it happen to us. Let's sort it out. What are we going to do? No, it is what it is. And in terms of them, I think they'll have a dip in numbers, maybe about 15 to 25%.
Okay.
For different reasons. I think the Patreon thing is probably bigger than them two leaving or all of it together. Yeah. But in 3 years' time, he would have made all that back up anyways, potentially.
Simone, predictions for the future?
I think that it will, like Stav said, there'll be a bit of a dip. But I think, you know, if he brings back Ice and Ish, it will be fine. Like you say, people got used to having them. I think definitely the issue will come with Patreon because, you know, pulling down the episode today and saying the episode is behind the paywall, you know, that was to encourage people to pay to listen to the episode. I don't know how that's going to go down with quite a few of the subscribers. But with regards to the actual podcast, I'm not necessarily sure there's going to be one. You know, he tweeted earlier, it was a hell of a run. So I got the impression from that, you know, this could be the end. But I'm sure they'll figure out something. Like you say, they've got a payroll and a staff, but I'm not completely hopeful because I just don't think he's got good business acumen. So I think that he could get some other people along the way and it will cause some sort of issue. Right now, Ice and Ish, there isn't a problem because, you know, there isn't anything formal in place. But, you know, issues might arise with them as well if something formal gets into place. But I'm not too sure where things will go. I don't think the horizon is great. And with regards to other podcasts, I don't think it's going to affect other people. I just think it will be a talking point for most people. And that will be it. I don't think anybody is being offered deals on the level that those guys have been offered previously. And I think if they do, then, you know, get a contract and decide, you know, who gets what splits and make sure that you're happy with it before it's signed, sealed, delivered.
If I was Joe Budden's bedroom, I would not do a podcast with him. I'll tell you that now.
Bad business.
Big Wahala, what do you think? Predictions?
I think that the podcast will be fine with Ice and Ish. I don't know how long it would last for, but I think it will be fine with Ice and Ish. And I think that if Ice and Ish leave, he will find somebody else to do a podcast with, or he will just go back to academics or somebody like that. Could quite easily do the podcast with them. But I think you should just call it Joe Budden and Friends and let's get random people on it. I think when I've seen people are difficult, that's sometimes the best way to deal with things.
I was listening to academics just before we started, and that's what he himself said.
Mm. I mean, that's what I did, Colour Out the Box and Friends.
Yeah, when it gets to a point where you feel like you're doing the majority of the work, you don't really want to split it with too many people because you don't want to get angry because they're not doing their work, then just do a podcast and get people in and use them as that means that business relationship is very simple. You know, it's all about you're coming in. If I pay you to come in as a guest and you're getting that one pay and blah, 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 blah. Everything is simple. But I don't think it's going to make that major effect on the podcast world. I'm a bit like Stav. There's other podcasts there that would quite happily, you know, to fill the void. I am a big Joe Budden fan. That is the podcast I listen to probably more than any other podcast. So it would affect me if it went missing, but I'll just find myself filling my day up with something else. It's not the biggest deal. But I think the podcast goes on. I don't think it stops.
Well, my predictions are, I think they're going to put more on Patreon, because even though you're going to lose, quite a big proportion of the audience, you're going to have a paying audience. So even if they take over 20% of their audience, that's 20% of the audience that are paying $10+ a month to enjoy that content. So I think you will probably see more behind a paywall.
He said that already, hasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. He said
they're going to go down to one episode a week and put everything else behind the paywall.
And I think he also will concentrate more on the Joe Budden network in terms of like launching new podcasts. And I actually don't see Ice and Ish being a regular on the Joe Budden podcast. I think he's actually looking at launching their own separate show.
Oh, they've got one, haven't they?
Yeah, which has been on Patreon, I think. So I think he's going to focus on more on the network. And like you guys mentioned, having the Joe Budden podcast plus a guest co-host, and you might have like some like friends of his, other people. I do think friends will do it, because he'll probably just pay them like a one-off fee or a salary, and you'll know what it is from the beginning.
Oh, no, one-off is fine. I'm talking about like I wouldn't go into business. Regular. Yeah, I wouldn't go into business with Joe Budden, because...
But I don't think he's going to get like another like regular like new host. I think it will be like people that kind of like come in and out.
Well, we forget Parks is there, isn't it? So Parks is like his side host, and then...
Yeah.
So I guess it almost kind of like turns into like a night show. You know, when you have the night shows and they have the musical person that they talk to once in a while, but they have the guests on the sofa that they interview and talk to.
It turns into what's his name? Show, the one that's the biggest one.
Joe Rogan. Yeah.
All
the Joes.
Yeah.
And you can see he looks up to Joe Rogan as well.
Yeah. I think it can go on. And to Simone's point about him being a bad business person, I actually don't think he is. I think he has been making money and will continue to make money. In terms of for the podcast industry, I do think it's going to have an effect, because I think there's some major podcasts out there that are probably, some people are thinking about, am I the A mic? Am I the B mic? How much should I be getting? So I do think it's going to be having people thinking the same way when the Joe Budden podcast got a Spotify deal, and even when Joe Rogan got a Spotify deal, people were like, okay, there's money on the table to be made from podcasting. I shouldn't be doing this for free. So I do. I think it's going to have some effects. People are going to be thinking, maybe people are going to be drawing up some contracts to make sure that they're not the employee, that they're the partner or the co-founder. Who owns the IP? Who owns the trademark? Who has the domain? Who has the social media passwords? Yeah.
Well, it's clearly not Rory, because he was asking for the YouTube money.
Yeah, he's got the YouTube password.
You know what? Yeah, I really do think that if Duce Palooza was still going strong and he was still making all that Duce Palooza money, none of this would have gone on. I really do think a lot of it is.
But he's making an album.
Yeah, I know, but that's not making any money, is it? He's making an album in the worst time to ever make an album. I think his relationship, as they said in the background, seems to be going kaput. And I think a lot of people, he's one of those people, I think he looks involved in the social media thing. He's reading Reddit. He's reading everybody saying that they should be getting this and they should be getting that. And he actually let it go to his head.
It with like a lot of like bands and like music groups.
That's what I'm saying. He's like a group. I think he let it go to his head, and I think that's why suddenly it's become really important that he has these things. Whereas before,
what if I start whispering to Stavros, like, you don't need those guys?
I don't think you'd.
They're just slowing you down.
I think he'll agree with you.
I don't need them. That's what I'm saying. It's not about whether I need them or not.
That's not the question. We know that we need Stav. Well, I don't need Stav as much anymore, but the rest of them will still need him because they can't edit.
I don't think anybody needs. None of us need any of us.
Ooh.
There you go. Simone can do the thing. Simone and friends.
Simone, you've been there a couple of times.
Let me not drop my eyelid to Simone.
I know, but I've got to catch up to you though, Mo.
I've been absent for too long.
Yeah, Mo, you won't see Mo on ESN again, don't worry. She's with us. She's rejected us enough times, man. She asked for
the digits, the figures.
I need to know how many clicks, the splits.
Yeah, how many clicks we get when she's on a show, and we told her no, so she's not coming.
I was
coming
like, what's
again.
The data?
I think everybody on ESN could do their own podcast. I think I am not the most.
I think so too.
Yeah, so I think everybody, like, whereas with Joe Budden, it's like we just said, if Mo could not do his own thing, it would just be boring, unless he was talking about something that, like, I think he's passionate about sports, so maybe he could do a sports thing or something like that. So for Fiddies, but I think everybody in ESN could do a version of ESN, either by themselves or with another 3 or 4 or 5 other people. Web Slinger, who is one of the least talking people on ESN recently, he's got another podcast he does with other people, and there, because he's the veteran podcaster, even though he's not the host on there, you can see him like organizing things, like, because he's pushed himself into that position. He's just molded himself into that position because he can do it. The reason he doesn't do it on ours is because you have 5 people with such loud voices, and Wahala counts as 6 and 7 as well. So it's just everybody can fit in with it. I love the dynamic of my podcast. My podcast is banging, man. It's legendary. You get me?
I hear ya.
Yeah. My people, my 4 horsemen are legends.
Okay. I know we haven't done this pod for a while, Stav. We're supposed to share like a tip, aren't we?
Yes, a tip and a recommendation.
Okay. So let's go to our guests, actually. Tip and recommendation. Simone.
I think that when podcasting, you should play to your strengths and make sure that there are open channels for communication at all times. Don't let it get to the point where you're now outing each other's personal business on the podcast. So have an open channel of communication, talk to each other with respect, and play to your strengths. And I think that that will help resolve some of the issues that some people are having.
And a podcast recommendation?
Oh, that's a good one. I feel like because I'm on a joint podcast with Mo and Stav, I should say listen to the ESN podcast and also listen to Colour Out the Box. So I'm going to say those two. And then if I had to pick one more, I'm going to pick Higher Learning with Van Lathan and Rachel Lindsay. It's an American podcast and they talk a lot about politics and social issues that are happening in the US. It's a very good podcast and you can get a lot of information about what's happening, especially with policy and policing and things like that. So I would recommend that podcast.
Okay.
Thank you very much. And wonderful for the cause that you just came off the top of that. We didn't give you pre-warning. So fantastic. Simone's a legend, man. We're waiting for her new podcast coming soon.
Are you just going to out me like that?
Yes, because if you're 3 seconds behind everybody else, I will out you because you can't do anything about it.
I'm sorry. I've ordered a mic.
It's not the mic. It's your internet. But don't worry about it. Wahala, tip a recommendation, please.
I should say, if you want to get into podcasting, make sure you get into you have an understanding of the people you're doing the podcast with. I think that makes it a lot easier for the dynamic of the podcast. It gives you a bit more of a natural flow. I also think that you need to, you know, although I think you should be aware of what you're saying, I still think that you should be a bit careful. Not as careful. I think you need to, you know, flow a little bit. Enjoy yourself when you're on a podcast. You know, don't just make it all about, trying to make yourself come across looking the best. Just have a chat. Most of the times, just having a chat with your friends is enough to make a good podcast. That leads to other conversations and stuff like that. So, yeah, the two things I'll say is, you know, try and relax. And I can't remember what the first thing I said now was.
Wasn't important anyways.
Oh, yeah.
Your recommendation.
All right. My recommendation, just to upset Mo, is Griff's Brain Dump.
It's a rubbish podcast.
Wow! Wow. Cold blooded.
All right. Former expansion pod guest, Griff.
Yeah, Griff. Darren Griffiths is a comedian that you may see hopefully coming up in more comedy shows in towns near you now that the London's open and other places are open. He does a podcast every Monday, which is by himself. Please forgive the audio. I actually messaged him the other day telling him how terrible one of the episodes was because it was that bad, which he thoroughly agreed with and continued to say that he's never going to get a laptop and a microphone anyway. But yeah.
If that's the episode, I think it is. I don't miss his episodes. You know? I listen to all of them. Mm. And if it's the one where there was somebody else on the episode.
I stopped listening. That's why I messaged him. I said, it's that bad. I stopped listening. And he was like, yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. He's from Essex, so he spoke in an Essex tone. Like, yeah, I agree with you, mate. But yeah, he's got a really good podcast where he does it on his own. It tends to be about an hour. I rate him because not everyone could do a podcast just on their own, and he manages to do it. And he's very informative, and he's got his section that I thoroughly love, which is the Dear Deirdre section, where he reads some Dear Deirdre queries and he answers them in his own way.
Love it.
But yeah, shout out to Griff's Brain Dump. Every Monday, as I said, it's a podcast.
He did something on this week's episode. He explained the Palestine-Israel beef as if it was a school playground issue. And he explained it like it's children in school. And I said, this is man, his brain is fantastic.
He's because got a very,
it,
very good
it
brain.
It actually made sense. He was talking about this, the Palestinian boy got this chair and it was the Israeli boy had a chair before, but he said, nobody else can ever sit on this chair. Even when I left the school, it's only down to my brothers and sisters and my nephews and nieces are allowed to sit on this chair and blah, blah, blah. And it just made so much sense. I was like, oh yeah, I understand the Palestine-Israel beef now. Yeah. Thank you.
Mm. Yeah. So his podcast is the one I'll give us my recommendation.
Do you want me to go, Stav?
It's up to you. You're the A-mic.
Yeah. Can you go? Because I'm still thinking of my recommendation.
Okay. I know my recommendation, but I don't actually know my tip. My tip is to just go for it, man. There are a lot of people listening to this or listening to any other podcast and they're on the ledge about should I do it, shouldn't I do it? Just start. If it's no good, then it's no good, but you can get better. And I wouldn't put too much effort's the wrong word. Just start the podcast. That's what it is. Just start. Don't dilly-dally about it. If you have to record on your phone like Griff does, then do so. If you've got a decent microphone on your computer like Simone does right now, you can do it straight off your computer. If you've got an Apple, just do it in GarageBand and then post it. You can post it for free now.
The shade.
If you listen to it. No, the microphone on your computer is fine. This is my point. So it wasn't shade. I was being serious. Just start. And then as you go on, you can get better. Our earlier podcast on whether it's expansion or ESN, the quality wasn't the best and it just got better with time. So it is what it is, man.
And Stav, remember, we did a whole episode about like how to start your podcast with like zero money. So
yes,
go and listen to that episode.
Go listen to that episode. And my recommendation for podcast will be something that they've rebranded. So it's new to me, although it's not a new podcast. It's called Black Mums Upfront. And it's about four ladies, four black mothers who talk about their experiences as mothers and two other mothers about all the trials and tribulations about being black women, mothers in particular. So, but I'm not a mum. I'm not a woman, and I still listen to it every week. It's fascinating. Those ladies, I think they're quite refreshing, and yeah. So I'm new to it, even though they were rebranded as what were they before? Dope Black Mums.
No, there was a split.
Yeah, but that's what they were before, innit? And then they've changed name.
They've moved. Dope Black Mums still exists, and they've moved away and set up their own thing.
Yes, but those were the Dope Black Mums, and then they've left. Yes. And yeah, yes. So they've rebranded, like I said. Yeah. Second tip, work with somebody that you can actually have a nice conversation with. No. Yeah, and they're just really good. They're really good. They're really professional. They're on point. Mm. I don't think it's all scripted and stuff, but it seems like it is. It's that natural.
They're really informative. I really like, I'm not a mum, but I like listening to them because I learn quite a lot as well. Informative.
Yeah. The other day, my wife listened to an episode, and she doesn't even listen to my podcast. She does not listen to podcasts. So, and even she was interested in that. So there you go. My big thing is, if my wife can listen to an episode of a podcast, it's a winner. Bang. There you go. Over to you, Mo.
Okay. So my tip is to don't be afraid to write things down between you and your co-host. Make sure all your intellectual property is in a shared location and everything. And just don't be afraid to have those conversations and everything, because you never know. Your podcast, you're starting off free today and it could blow up tomorrow. So that's my tip. And also, you know, shop around for your podcast hosting provider. There's some great deals out there at the moment. So don't be just stuck with the same person. And then my recommendation is the Okay Now Listen podcast by Scotty Beam and Sylvia Obel. It's a Netflix podcast, really good, just black women talking about different topics. And I just find it like it's really funny. But also they go quite deep and delve into different things about body confidence, colorism, and all of that good stuff. So that's my recommendation. Oh, and also, if you would like more recommendations, do follow Color Out the Box on Twitter. I have a whole thread of podcasts that I recommend.
And you got a blog as well.
Yeah.
And Griff.
No, don't. He's going to fight me.
You know what? I really think that you and Griff would have a fantastic podcast together.
I think so too.
We're going to set up our own podcast. We're going to call it Eloquently Saying a Lot.
Well, as your brother said, I'm looking to sue.
Griff, if you listen to this, let's talk. Let's set it up.
I'll manage the podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, also, if you're expecting a podcast from Rory and Mo, apparently there's something in their contract where they can't do something for a year.
Yeah. So. Joe said if they try and do a podcast, he will sue the pants off them.
But if he fires them, doesn't that negate the non-compete?
Not necessarily, because he made reference multiple times that Rory broke the contract. I don't know how he did, but from when you break the contract and I'm firing you on those terms because you've broken the contract, you know, then you still have to do certain things that are
I think because he didn't show up, it was an unauthorized absence.
Maybe they need to dig into the wording.
Repeated unauthorized absences.
I got out of my non-compete. I'm sure Rory can as well, so...
Rory, call Simone.
Get you a good lawyer.
Simone, Rory's not as gangster as you are.
Clearly.
Simone, do you want to say your goodbyes?
Yes. Thanks for having me, everyone. Continue to listen to the Expansion podcast, listen to the ESN podcast, and also listen to Colour Out the Box. And I think that's all I have to say at the moment. So, yeah, thanks for having me. It's been fun, guys.
Thank you very much for the big up. Wahala, I would actually give your podcast that you're on many years ago for them to listen to, but I won't do that to you.
You can if you want to, I'm fine.
Wahala, do you want to say your goodbyes?
Yeah, latest people, thank you for having me on the show, Mo and Stav, and shout out ESN Radio, the best podcast in the world. Yes.
Okay.
I forgot about ESN podcast, and I didn't know you were on this podcast, Wahala. Sorry, man. Didn't know.
No. Well, I'm on ESN Radio, your other podcast that you share with me.
On the ESN network.
That he clearly told me the other day that he owns and I'm an employee.
I did actually, yeah.
Check the contract.
You know, that's actually like pertinent to this conversation.
He clearly told me that. I was like, eh? What? My dad?
He's treating me like Mo.
I didn't say I own it, but he was just talking and I listened. Doing it the way I want to do it because it's my podcast.
It's coming out now.
ESN Radio is for fun. It shouldn't get into the realm where we're having any of those kind of conversations.
Okay, should I say my goodbyes?
No, I'll go first. You're the A-mic.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to the Expansion podcast again. We'll see if we ever come back again. Mo, thank you for being such a gracious and wonderful co-host. You pull so much work and, you know, leverage, and I don't know if I could do it without you. You know, some of the other podcasts I do, you know, they don't do the work that you do, but let's not talk about that because we don't want to start throwing any mud in anybody's eye. No, so thanks. It's nice to be on the mic with you. It's nice to see your face smiling and whatnot. So I won't lie and say I missed it, but I do miss chatting to you.
Ah, oh, that's nice. So yeah, thanks everyone. You've been listening to the Expansion Pod. Do come and let us know what you think. You know, share, use the hashtag TheExPod to join the discussion. Do you think the Joe Budden podcast is over? Do you think they can come back? And if you're a podcaster listening to this, have you checked your contract? Are you the employee or the employer? So yeah, you can find you can find me on Twitter at Mo Actually. Do come and tweet me. And also listen to my podcast, Colour Out the Box, as well. And it's nice to do this kind of like off the cuff, no pun intended, episode. It's nice.
Yeah, so maybe we'll do one offs now and again.
Yeah, actually, I like that. No pressure. I like it.
Yeah, when big things happen in a podcast world. You literally just tear off your shirts like Superman and Supergirl and jump on a podcast.
Tear our singlet and just reveal the big S.
The big expansion, the big X.
Sorry, are you not Mo Actually UK?
Oh, I don't know, actually.
Yes, you are. Don't worry, I did check. You're Mo Actually UK.
Okay. Are you Mo Actually UK? I don't know, actually.
Well, actually, I would like to do that.
Check the description.
Yes.
Links will be there.
All right.
Okay. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Okay. I forgot how the theme goes. See that.
Really,
this is my podcast. You know, I came up with the name, I did the logo, I did the theme, I edit the podcast.
Actually, I feel like your wife, did she come up with the name?
No, I came up with
it. No, she vetoed the other name that we had.
I can't even remember that.
It was rubbish.
What was it?